as it's found in Psalm 33, and we'll be hearing the translation from the Message. Good people, cheer God. Right living people sound best when praising. Use guitars to reinforce your hallelujahs. Play his praise on a grand piano. Compose your own new song to him. Give him a trumpet fanfare, for God's word is solid to the core. Everything he makes is sound inside and out. And he loves it when everything fits, when his world is in plumb line true. Earth is drenched in God's affectionate satisfaction. The skies were made by God's command. He breathed the word and the stars popped out. He scooped sea into his jug, put ocean in his keg. Earth creatures, bow before God. Earth world dwellers, down on your knees. Here's why. He spoke and there it was, in place the moment he said so. God takes the wind out of Babel pretense. He shoots down the world's power schemes. God's plan for the world stands up. All his designs are made to last. Blessed is the country with God for God. Blessed are the people he's put in his will. From high in the skies, God looks around. He sees all Adam's brood. From where he sits, he overlooks all us earth dwellers. He has shaped each person in turn. And now he watches everything we do. No king succeeds with a big army alone. No warrior wins by brute strength. Horsepower is not the answer. No one gets by on muscle alone. Watch this. God's eye is on those who respect him, the ones who are looking for his love. He's ready to come to their rescue in bad times. In lean times, he keeps body and soul together. We're depending on God. He's everything we need. What's more, our hearts brim with joy since we've taken for our own his holy name. Love us, God, with all that you've got. That's what we are depending on. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Last Sunday, we heard the first of the two creation stories in Genesis. We heard of God speaking things into creation and affirmed that the creative word is still vibrating about us, and in us, and through us. And we're eager in these discordant days to be receptive to good vibrations. And today we hear the psalmist call us to join with creation in praise of God. I learned very early on in life to listen to the song of creation, echoing in the flourishing life around me. And how pleasant it has been these spring evenings to open the windows to the evening air and the floral fragrances and the wafting sounds of winged friends. I remember as a child being lulled to sleep by the sound of singing frogs in the pond beyond the orchard behind our home. And moments ago, we sang the hymn, This is my Father's world. And the lyrics continue, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me brings the music of the spheres. As a child, I understood nature singing, birds, frogs, even the irritating voices of creatures called little sisters. But what were these spheres to which the hymn writer was referring? Well, after years of singing the hymn, This Is My Father's World, with great gusto, and not knowing really what I was singing about, the song gained richness because one day at school, I was introduced to early cosmology. And I learned that people perceived that the heavenly bodies, the stars and the planets, were fixed upon moving spheres that made sounds as they moved. At least that was the perception of humans at one time. But I think there's something very real and true about this inclination, this thought, this perception. Emanuel Velikovsky, in his book Worlds in Collision, says that when two charged bodies approach one another, they can produce trumpet-like sounds varying as the distance between them increased or lessened. He goes on to say that it appears that this phenomenon is described by Pseudo-Philo as testimony of the trumpets between the stars and their Lord. And here we can trace the origin of the Pythagorean notion of the music of the spheres and the idea that the stars themselves make music. Sir Thomas Brown, a 17th century polymath, someone who knows a lot about everything, and he said, there is a music wherever there is harmony, order or proportion, and thus far we may maintain the music of the spheres for those well-ordered motions and regular paces. Though they give no sound to the ear, yet to the understanding they strike a note most full of harmony. For even that vulgar and tavern music, which makes one man merry and another mad, strikes in me a deep fit of devotion and a profound contemplation of the first composer. There is something in it of divinity more than the ear discovers. So friends, I wonder, can we see music? Christian songwriter Mark Hurd claims, the late Mark Hurd, claims that we can.
Appalachian melody drifting softly down, instruments of gold and red and brown. Do not need no dulcimer or banjo fiddle sounds. For right now I'll watch these leaves come down. How peculiar, lighting old dead leaves against the sky. There is something more than meets the eye. Funny, I just sit and watch these leaves come down from high. But these things are music to my eyes. Such a pretty song I sing, or have I been beguiled? This day is not imagination's child. Every time the leaves come down, I've just got to smile. For they sing a melody so mild. How peculiar, liking old dead leaves against the sky. There is something more than meets the eye. Funny, I just sit and watch these leaves come down from high. But these things are music to my eye. These things are music to my eyes.
What is the breadth and depth of the music of created things? Calvin Miller stated, "Before the song, all music came like muted, empty octaves begging a composer's pen. The notes cried silently for paper staves and kept their sound in theory only. In other words, it is the song that holds all that is together." In his Singer trilogy, Miller, like the gospel writer John, understands, and the apostle Paul affirms, the cosmic Christ, the Word, the singer and song, holds all things together, and in him they consist. Many of you know that in C.S. Lewis's Narnia Chronicles, Jesus, the Word made flesh, is represented by the lion character, Aslan. And I've often thought how fitting and striking and insightful of Lewis to find Aslan participating in the creation of things. And while the scriptures find God speaking things into creation, as we heard in our lesson last week, Lewis has Aslan sing them into being. And for several years, I have recognized that created things declare their maker's praise. As I noted last week, St. Francis of Assisi, remember, joined creation in worship. Only recently have I paid more attention to the to the musical elements of their declaration and being convinced more and more that Lewis was really on to something. Think about it. Think about what we know about DNA. It is the word in living things that tells something what it's going to be. The DNA in an acorn says, you're going to be an oak tree, and you're going to have leaves shaped like this, and you're going to have wood of this composition and strength. Not too many years ago, physicist Brian Greene wrote the popular and accessible book, The Elegant Universe. And Greene alluded to a potential unified theory, one that would bring together the theory of relativity and quantum mechanics, something that physicists for some time now have been grappling with. And I was not surprised to find that many physicists were saying that everything at its most foundational level is comprised of structureless, elementary particles of tiny pieces of vibrating string or vibrating energy. And this is what we've come to know as string theory. That sounds like a song to me. Even the structure of DNA, the double helix, reminds me of the treble clef and the bass clef of music. Think, too, of the beauty and diversity of musical expression. Friends, God knows the language of our hearts, and he speaks to us through the genre of our tuned-in heart and mind. And some of us resonate with jazz or Celtic music or classical. Some identify with folk and soul music, and etc. This past Friday night, Diane and John and I were at our convention's assembly in Toronto. And Friday night, one of our assembly speakers, Dr. Rhonda Britton, was speaking about belonging. And she reminded us of the import of tuning in and pointing us to the scripture's admonition to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And she likened it to changing the channel or tuning in. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And she dialed in, she said, as she simulated this by turning on. Friends, when we tune in, when we listen to the God song about us, the God song in us, and in those that we encounter, there is a rhythm and rhyme that we can't but help be part of. There's a song that we become to be a blessing to this discordant world. Last week, I also referenced Michael Card's CD called Poema. And Poema is the Greek word meaning workmanship. And Michael reminded us that we are God's masterpieces or poems. And if God is speaking through our lives, then nothing else matters but listening to him. On the CD Poema is the song, the poem of your life. I invite you to listen to the words. This is Michael Card's song, poem, or the poem of your life. Life is a song we must sing with our days, a poem with meaning more than words can say, a painting with colors no rainbow can tell, a lyric that rhymes either heaven or hell. We are living letters that doubt desecrates. We're the notes of the song of the chorus of faith. God shapes every second of our little lives and minds every minute as the universe waits by. The pain and the longing, the joy and the moments of light are the rhythm and rhyme, the free verse of the poem of life. So look in the mirror and pray for the grace to tear off the mask and see the art of your face. And open your ear lids to hear the sweet song of each moment that passes and pray to prolong. Your time in the ball of the dance of your days, your canvas of colors of moments ablaze, with all that is holy, with the joy and the strife, with the rhythm and rhyme of the poem of your life, with the rhythm and rhyme of the poem of your life.